Our Community College Challenge Series takes us right into the difficult calculations so many students have to make to decide whether the price of higher education is worth it, given the sacrifices required of so many low-income families. Here's Andrea Casanova Rivera, a student at Valencia Community College in Florida.
Here at Valencia, you are getting the same amount of education you would get at a prestigious college for like half the cost, or even less.
Community colleges are providing options for high-performing, low-income students, but why shouldn't those students consider more elite, so-called select institutions as well? A brand new report out from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation entitled True Merit says that the admissions process is actually working against such students, despite well-publicized and sometimes controversial efforts to make their student bodies diverse. Harold Levy is the executive director of the Jack Kent Cook Foundation and former chancellor of the New York City schools. He says the select colleges may have their hearts in the right place, but their systems of admission are all wrong.
The elements of elite college admission have historically been examined separately, piece by piece. This report, for the first time, comprehensively analyzes the entire admissions process as it impacts high-achieving, low-income applicant to a selective college. When I was schools chancellor, I thought if you were really poor and really smart, you could write your own ticket. And that turns out to be just wrong. While individual practices may be innocent on their face, when examined as part of the entire admission system, there are important unforeseen impacts that seriously diminish the likelihood of admission of high-achieving, low-income kids.
Well, let's dig into that. Why would a kid who is a high performer, but they're low-income, why wouldn't they get snapped up?
Well, you'd think. And the colleges talk a big game about need-blind admissions,
right,
and they're doing more. But when you look at the facts, it turns out that of the elite colleges, only 3% of students at these top colleges come from the bottom 25% of families with lowest incomes, while 72% of the students at the top 25% of income are represented in these colleges. The kind of things that the colleges do, let's take the easy ones, the athletic scholarship, okay? I always used to think, okay, that's the way, the black kids and the Hispanic kids get in because of basketball and football.
Right, right.
In the high-end colleges, that's not the sports they look for. It's mostly squash and crew and
fencing.
Sailing and fencing and riding and water polo. It's not a lot of crew or squash that goes on in Washington Heights. And it goes on like that. They have a preference for the kids of alumni, so-called legacy preference. That's affirmative action for the wealthy. The SAT and the ACT, those scores,
right,
taken together with your grade point average, determine something called an academic index.
Right.
Okay? If you don't break out of the academic index cutoff, your application never gets read. How fair is it for the wealthy kids to get test prep and all kinds of, Kaplan programs, and at the other end, a lot of the poor kids walk in and take it cold in the way they might take a reading test? Similarly, and this is even more vulgar, how fair is it that a rich kid gets to take the test five times and submits their highest scores, whereas a poor kid gets one waiver and that's what determines their life's trajectory?
One of the claims that you make in this report is that a high-performing, low-income kid actually has a harder time than a high-performing middle-class kid.
Absolutely.
Why would they be, if not advantaged by their circumstances, why would they in fact be disadvantaged?
The colleges are trying to get higher ranking on U.S. News and World Report. One of the considerations is the yield, meaning how many kids actually say yes when they've been made an offer. Okay. So that the colleges wind up looking for kids who have demonstrated interest. How do you demonstrate interest? You visit the school. Okay, a poor kid applying from Washington Heights, a Dominican kid, is going to schlep up to Ithaca, New York to go and visit Cornell? Not happening.
Right.
Much less visit Stanford? You can't, quote, demonstrate interest. Well, a middle-class kid can do that. A poor kid can't.
Is this the case that the institutions wish they had more of these students, but they've created a system that gives them this extreme minority? Or are the schools basically doing a kind of branding exercise where they go, well, we'll get 6 or 7, 3% is fine. It looks really good. We don't need to do much more than that.
I don't know. I prefer to think these are all screw-ups along the way. Let me tell you, though, there's some colleges, some universities, where you got to think twice. I'll give you one example. Princeton does not take transfers. Princeton does not take transfers from community college in particular.
So the scholar, the Cook scholar that we've profiled on this show, Angel, from Valencia, Florida, would have no chance at Princeton.
No chance.
Even though he's an outstanding student.
And the data on this is that the transfer students tend to do better than the kids who came in as freshmen.
I'm wondering, you said at the very beginning that, you know, part of the reason why kids don't apply is because they're counseled not to, that this is, you know, probably not the place for you. And yet you also say that the deck is stacked against them. Maybe that counseling is right. Maybe it isn't a great place for
this
them.
This is the Justice Scalia rationale.
Yes.
And it was wrong when he said it, and it's still wrong. Let me tell you the facts. Only at the most selective schools do high-achieving, low-income students graduate at rates equal to the students from the high-income backgrounds.
If they get the support, and that deals with the data that says that if you've got a kid that doesn't come from Darien, Connecticut, who doesn't have the kind of legacy background and the sort of networked culture
right.
to function at the Ivies, that they're not going to necessarily get that income benefit on the other side.
But it turns out in the wealthier schools, that's exactly where the support is given. Once they get in, these kids soar.
Harold Levy is executive director of the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, the largest scholarship foundation in the United States. Harold Levy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For more on the Takeaways Community College Challenge Series, check out the interactive website at thetakeaway.org/communitycollege.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.